Good morning, Catalyst. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And because it's December, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I just love this season when we come out of Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is awesome and all the turkey and all that stuff. And then we step into December and it's a season of rejoicing, the season of anticipation, the season of Christmas, of the Savior's birth. And so I'm super excited. I'm kicking off a new series called the Christmas series. We couldn't come up with anything. So for the next 3 weeks, we'll be talking about Christmas. And we'll talk about Jesus' birth. And it's more than 1 week, so it's a series. So the Christmas series. I get to start it off. Woohoo! Excited. So bring your friends. Bring your friends to the Christmas series. Barry asked me a few months ago, like, what, you know, can you speak on this? So, okay, yeah, sure. So I've been asking the Lord, what do you want me to speak on with Christmas? And a word that I got from him was timing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Now, I don't think I've ever heard maybe you have, but I don't think I've ever heard a Christmas message on God's timing of Christmas. And so it was just really interesting as I dug into the Word and looked up different things and historical facts about what was happening in that time. And it was just really neat to come up with all these different, see what was happening and what God was doing in those times. And so today, that's what I'm going to share with you. And I hope that it you learn something today, that it excites you, that you see this different aspect of Christmas that maybe you never saw before. So, that's what we'll be talking about today. So let me pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We all need to know more about you and your timing and how you work, God. Because there are so many times when we can fall to temptation of wanting our timetable to be fulfilled, wanting our time to have things fall into our time. And God, that's not how your kingdom works. That's not how life works. And so God, teach us today about the importance of understanding what you are doing, to understand that your timing is perfect and that your ways are perfect, and that we need to open our eyes and submit ourselves to you. So thank you, God. Thank you for what you're teaching us, what you will teach us, and what you'll be doing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So before I get into the whole thing about the timing of Christmas, I actually wanted to talk a little bit about God's timing in general, to just kind of set a little bit of a foundation of what God's timing is all about. And so the first thing I want to talk about is that God's timing is perfect, right? We all know that. God's timing is perfect. Psalm 18, verse 30 says this, "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him." And so David was a writer of this psalm, and he's saying God's way, his doings, his governance, his timing, his wisdom, they're all perfect. The way that God does things, it's perfect. There are no mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. There are no do-overs. There are no, ooh, wow, that didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work. Let's try this. No. God's timing, his ways, his governance, perfect. Perfect. Okay? 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Okay, that's another thing. Not only is his ways perfect, God is never slow. A lot of times we may think that. Come on, God, what's going on? What's going on? He is never, never, ever, ever slow. His timing is never out of sequence. His timing, we may feel that way. God's, what he's doing, it's out of sync with what we're trying to do. But really, think about that statement. Really? It's about me? No. It's about his timing. It's about what he wants to do, and he is never slow, and he is never early. His timing is right on. And it's us that needs to adjust. When we're thinking God needs to adjust, really, it's us that needs to adjust. And then Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every matter under heaven. Right? Everything. There is an appointed time. Nothing is by mistake. God, from the beginning of time, had set it all in motion. And says there are certain seasons, there are certain things that are going to be happening at this time for these purposes. There are seasons for all these things. And so we need to understand that. We need to live accordingly that, God, you have certain seasons set out. These predetermined seasons are for the good of all. He is loving. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. He's good. He's on time. He's perfect. And we can, because we understand that, we can put our lives in him and say, God, you can do what you want to do at your timing, in your ways. You know, a lot of you have heard this story before. Probably a lot of you were here when this happened. But there's this testimony of what happened with Sang Fuang. I don't know, is she here? Sang, Matt and Sang? She's not even here? Okay. That's okay. She's going to watch the video. Sang and Blake Arakaki. Yes. He's behind the computer back there. But this happened, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or, I don't know, a while ago, 12 years ago. And I was up here leading worship, and Sang was on my worship team. She was playing the bass back there. And we were playing in the second set, just like we do here, was playing the second set, and all of a sudden I see this flash go by me, and I look, and I see it's Sang running off the stage, and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird why she would leave the stage in the middle of a song. Okay, whatever. So keep playing the song, and then later on she comes back on stage. So then I was like, oh, I wonder if she had to go use the restroom or something, and she couldn't hold it, so okay, whatever. So we're playing, and so we finished the set, and then I go and talk to her, and I go, hey, so why did you leave the stage? And she said, when I was playing, I saw this guy in the congregation. I didn't know who he was, but I saw him, and the Lord gave me a word for him. And so she goes, yeah, I put down my bass and got off, and I went up there and gave him the word, prayed for him, and then came back up. So I was like, wow, that's really cool. That's really cool that would happen, that she would do that. So later on, I found out, I met the guy later on, and his name is Blake Arakaki, and just a really cool guy, my fellow Okinawan. And and I remember talking to him about that situation. And he told me that he was at the point, he was just frustrated with what things were going on and not feeling like he was really growing. He loved Catalyst, but just felt like he just wasn't fitting in. And so that day, he had determined that that was going to be his last day. That after that day, he was leaving Catalyst and not returning. And Sang, she went up to him and she prayed for him. And I don't know if he remembered the word. I think Sang, but I texted him and asked if he was okay if I shared this. And he said it was the experience of having someone come up and minister to him in a moment when he was just struggling with, should I stay? Should I go? I don't think I'm going to stay. I think this is it. I think this is my last day. And I think, and feeling like he was making a decision to leave the church, and for saying to come and embody the Father and his heart, and to speak to him and pray for him at that moment, it just made a huge difference for him. And he's obviously he stayed, and his family is here, and yeah, just some amazing things are happening in their family in the Lord. And so we can look at that situation and say, ah, that was just coincidence. That was just fate. That was, you know, just, I don't know. And I think for me, when I was a non-Christian, I think I would have said that. Like, well, yeah, it's probably just, you know, coincidence. But now, knowing Jesus, knowing the Father, knowing how much he loves us, knowing how much he looks into our lives, knowing he cares for us, just like what Trish was sharing about Joshua and his arm and watching over them, that God is watching over us, and that none of these things are coincidence. These situations just don't happen. That it's God moving. That was his timetable to have Sang go and pray for Blake at that moment. I mean, can you imagine if Sang thought of that the following week? Oh, I need to pray for that guy. That guy I don't even know. Let me go pray for him. Oh, I'll do it next week. He's not even here. He's already gone. And so God's timing in that moment is perfect. It's perfect. And I know for you guys, you know, we've been walking this thing about walking by the Spirit and hearing the Lord. And there's so many stories that you guys even know, right? Where you guys have seen God work. You've seen God do things at just the right time, where it's finances coming in or someone getting healed or someone getting a word or just things happen. People, I think even that whole thing with Trish and that guy taking a picture of that guy, that's not coincidence. That's not just, oh, whatever. Just God was orchestrating these moments. His timing is perfect. And you know what's sad is we forget about what God has done. It's so easy for us to forget and to just move on and to say, okay, God, what have you done for me lately? What's going on next? Oh, this is what I want to do. Come on, why isn't things happening right now? It's so easy for us as humans to get to that place and to say, come on, come on, come on, come on. Okay, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And God, I felt like he was saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Because my timing is perfect. My timing is perfect. Okay, so the second thing that I kind of learned is not only is his timing perfect, but God has a different view of time than we do. Right? I think there's a different perspective that he has. I found these two words, the Greek, there's two words for time that's used in the Bible. And I'm going to butcher this. This is not the way the Greeks would say it, but this is how we Americans say it, chronos and kairos. So chronos is it's the word that we, chronological, the word chronological, chronology comes from. It's a sequential time. It's linear. It's measurable. It's years, months, days, minutes, seconds, right? That's that measurement of time. Clocks and calendars measure chronos. I am 53 years old. To say that, that is saying, that's a chronological phrase or term that we use. Chronos is the quantity of time. Now, kairos, on the other hand, kairos is the quality of time. It's the right occasion, the opportune time, an appointed time in the purposes of God. Kairos is about the now, and especially when right now is the right time for what's happening right now. It's these moments within the chronos that God comes and he does his thing. It's these moments that happen at the right time, at the right moment, what God wants us to experience in those moments. And I think a lot of times we get caught up with the chronos. We get caught, what time is it? What time is it? What time is it? Oh, I need to do this in the future. I need to do this. Is what happened in the past. This is what I need to do. Okay, I need to get this and this and this. And we miss the chronos. We miss what God is doing within those moments. You know, like I catch myself, and this is where I want to change, is that there are times in worship. I believe a lot of times in worship, there are chronos moments when God is moving and he's working. And I'm sitting over there going, what time is it? Okay, I'm going to be up in 5 minutes. I'm going to be up in, okay, how long is Marcy going with the song? Make sure I know this, make sure. I'm in that chronos mindset where I'm missing what God can be doing. And this morning, I had to sit there and go, wait a minute. Get out of the chronos. Start thinking, what is God doing in this moment? This is the moment I need to live for. Not the 5 minutes from now I'm going to be up there speaking. No. What is happening in this moment? And I do a lot of times with my kids. There are times when, like, this. See, God does a lot of stuff. When you have to speak and you have to teach on something, and he does. So this past week, my daughter comes up, Papa, can we play? And I'm working on the message. And, you know, there are times to play, there are times to work. But more often than not, I'm just going, no, okay, I got to get this done. You know, Damon's going to be running the marathon, so I need to get these things to him. And I need to get by Friday, and I need to do this thing by Friday night. And then Blake's going to be doing this, so I need to do this. So I'm thinking all these things. And so I tell my daughter, no, I can't. I have to work. And then she comes back later. Can we play? No, I'm not done yet. Comes back again. Can we play? And I felt like the Lord came, and he said, these are some of those moments where you can step into them. And it may not be something where all of a sudden God comes and there's all anointing and there's his glory comes and we can't even stand, there's Shekinah glory. But it was this moment where I said yes to her, and then we started playing, and I could see the smile on her face. I could see her just having so much joy in playing with her papa. And she even told that to Jackson and to Ida. I played with Papa. We played Keepy Uppy, where we're playing with the balloon up and down. And it took 5 minutes. I don't know, it just took some time, a little bit of time, but yet I was able to step into that moment where I was able to just be in that place right then, right now. And really, I don't think it really impacted the quality. Well, you can let me know. But I don't know if it impacts the quality of this message for that 5 minutes. I feel like the Lord is teaching me. There are moments in this time. Yes, there still is this measurement of time you need to be aware of. But within that, there are these moments. I want you to be aware of it, because that's when I step in. And that's when I want you to experience something in that moment. You know, so Blake and Sang, I think that was one of those moments. Sang could have been up here and said, well, no. I can't, what are you talking about, Holy Spirit? I can't go down there and pray. Not right now. I'm playing the bass. And we got 3 more songs to go through. So, you know, like if I step down, then that's going to, I don't know, it's going to mess somebody up. So I don't want to be a distraction. I don't want to do, no. So I'll pray for him later or something, you know. Later may have come, later may not have come, but for her to say no in that moment, she would have missed out. Blake would have missed out. They would have missed out in that Kairos moment. It says, with Kairos, we count the years. But with Kronos, we count the years. But with Kairos, we make our years count. And really, that's what we want, right? Because really, when we think back at our lives, are we going to remember, oh, remember that time I was on time? Remember when I did that and I set 5 minutes and I did 5 minutes? It's going to be, wow, remember that time I played with my daughter and the smile that was on her face? Remember that time I prayed for someone and it blessed them? Remember that time when I did this? And it's those moments that we're going to remember. It's those moments that we're going to treasure. Okay, so now going back to the whole original thing of Christmas, the timing of Christmas. What is that all about? What happened? What was going on there? Again, before we get right into it, let me set the stage of what was happening, the context of what was happening. So first, let me back up. Galatians 4:4, it says this. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. I like what the NASB says. It says, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. This phrase, fullness of the time, of time, it speaks of something that is complete and fully developed. When you look at the Greek, it's this complete, this full, this fully developed whatever is happening. It's kind of like a ripe fruit. Like the cheese just gave us avocados. By the way, they were awesome. Those avocados were awesome. But it's like a fruit when it's fully ripe and it's ready to be picked. That's what they're talking about. That's the kind of picture that we can get from this phrase. Or like, I never went through this, but a pregnant woman, right? When she has her baby, the labor pains and all that leading up to the delivery of the baby, it's like at the right moment, the baby is going to come. And that's what they're talking about here. At the fullness of this time came, God sent his son. Now, this is what was happening around when Jesus was here on earth, okay? So there's this period called the intertestamental period, where it was these 400 years of what we call God was silent, okay? From the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, God really didn't say too much as far as prophets or scriptures being written or anything. From what we could see, there didn't seem like there's much that God was doing. But of course, we know that God was doing all kinds of stuff, that he is always at work, right? John 5 says that he is always, always at work. And so God was doing things that we couldn't really see at the time. And so let's talk about what was happening in that silent period. Well, Alexander the Great, right? You guys remember that from history? Go back to when you were taking history. Go back to, and actually my son helped me with all this. I was like, Jackson, what did they? Okay, so Alexander the Great with the Greeks. He was Greek, right? Or he was from Macedonia, but he's Greek. They defeated the Persians in 332 BC. And what was significant about that is that he came in and he brought the Greek culture to all the areas that they conquered. Okay, all the customs and all the religion. And even though they let people follow their own religion, they brought that with them. And they also had people speak and understand Greek. And so you have this huge empire, which now they all speak or they all understand some aspect of Greek. Can we have that map pulled up? So all the way from Greece on the far left, all the way to this side, which is almost to India, that Alexander the Great conquered all these areas, and now all these people speak Greek, or they understand Greek. So this huge, all these countries where before they were all speaking their own languages, now they all understand Greek. So now, can you think about it? If you imagine this, like when the disciples or when the Jews were spread out or the Christians were spread out, they could go and share the gospel with all these people in all these different areas because they speak the same language. So that's what happened, first of all, with the Greeks, that how God came and enabled them to share the good news with all these people, that they could understand it. It's because they all spoke the same language. Okay, so the Greeks were there first. Then in 63 BC, the Romans conquered the region. Okay, so now the Roman Empire comes in. Okay, actually, can we leave the map up there? The Romans come in, and they conquered this area, but they actually went even further west. So can you imagine where Spain was? Sorry, people at home, can't see me. But Spain, as far west as Spain and as far north as England, they conquered those areas all the way to about, where's the Persian Sea? Is this Persian Sea? Yeah. I think it's around here. Yeah. So all the way here to where is modern-day Iraq, and then all the way down to Africa, in the northern parts of Africa, that was all part of the Roman Empire. So they came in and they did this, and because of their armies and the soldiers, and they recruited soldiers from the different areas, so their army was massive, they were able to keep the peace of that area, of their empire. It was called, as I don't know if you guys remember, the Pax Romana. So for 200 years, there was relative peace in these areas. There weren't wars. There were soldiers who helped protecting the Roman citizens and the people who lived there, the residents of the Roman Empire. There were people, soldiers that would help protect the people in this area. And so there was relative peace. There weren't wars going on and stuff during that time for 200 years. That was unprecedented at that time. And so there were the Romans occupied this area. Now what they did during that Pax Romana is they built roads. In all those areas, they built roads, a whole huge network of roads where the soldiers can get to places a lot faster. Now, the reason why that's important is because that made travel throughout the Roman Empire that much easier, so that when people would travel to go to different places, not only were they able to travel safely, but they were able to travel more quickly to different areas of the Roman Empire. And because they still spoke Greek, they were able to share the gospel. And so these are some of the things that were happening in that time. These empires that were built for man's selfishness, man's control, man's power, that God took it and said, I'm going to use it for my kingdom. And I'm going to use those things for my purposes that people, man doesn't even see, man doesn't even understand. But that's what can happen. And so those are a couple things that I saw that I was like, whoa, was that? That's what was happening in that time. Now, there's a few other things that were also happening. There was a census. You guys heard of the census, right? When Joseph and Mary had to go from Nazareth, go down to their city of origin. So that was Joseph's family, was Bethlehem. So he had to go and register. So they all went, and they went, and that fulfilled prophecy that was in the Bible. Actually, that was Micah 5:2, where it says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And so there was this prophecy that was written in Micah that God fulfilled because of something that Caesar Augustus had declared for his empire. Yes, let's count everybody. We want to count everybody. Make sure the taxes are right. Make sure, well, this is what God does. Fulfills the prophecy. And so there's these things that God was doing. God was moving. God was working within all the circumstances, the situations, the environment of what God was doing. And it's again, just amazing to step back and to look and to see that is not just accident. That is not just, wow, the Greeks came in and, you know, they took their turn and now the Romans took their turn and, you know, this happened. No, it was God working through all that. Okay, so now we see that from the human point of view. That's what was happening. But now we see heaven. Okay, I remember I was like, okay, Lord, what else do you want me to share about this story? And I just got this picture of angels when they came and spoke to the shepherds and they sang. I was like, oh my gosh, heaven was exploding in this moment when Jesus was being born. Let me read it to you. Luke 2, verse 8 through 18. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So in this instance, heaven was rejoicing. Heaven was like, yes, the Savior, the Christ has been born today. The King has been born today. Rejoice, rejoice, glory, glory in the highest. Because in this moment, in this divine moment where all the chronos and all the kairos, they all come together in this one significant moment, Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah, came to earth. And all heaven was rejoicing. And the shepherds were like, oh, I can imagine, just be all scared and stuff, but yet hearing the, and curious about what, let's go see the King. What is this all about? Let's go see what happened. So there's that aspect. Then there's the other aspect of the Magi, where they saw the star, the King's star. And they said, we got to follow that. The King of the Jews is being born. And so they went and they started asking about it. Matthew 2, verses 9 through 11. Then they, and after they had heard the king, Herod, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so these magi, these kings, these astronomers from the east had followed the star. And they said, we want to see the King of the Jews. We want to go find out who this is. And we want to worship him and present him with gifts. And when they were able to finally do it, they were overjoyed to see, okay, there's the star is over this house, this place. Let's go in and worship. All heaven was going crazy. They were showing people different things, leading them to the King, saying, this is the moment. This is the moment. And we get to rejoice in that. We get to celebrate in that. We get to worship God in those moments pretty much every day, but all specifically in this season. We get to say, God, We want to remember what you were doing. We want to recognize your Kairos moment where you brought forth the baby. This is your perfect timing. This is the perfect timing of Christmas. So what does this mean to us? What does this mean to us? Well, I think for us, it's to remember all that God is doing, to see that his ways are perfect, that when we go about our daily life and we lift up prayers and we ask him for things and we're, you know, wanting to see things happen, that we are willing to submit to him and say, God, I know your timing is perfect. I know your ways are good. You know, I know it can be so hard at times when we're just waiting. It feels like we're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for God to answer prayers or to see a prayer or answers get fulfilled or even prophecies get fulfilled. And we have to remember that it's his time. It's according to his time. I remember when Ida and I, this is a couple decades ago, oh my gosh, trying to have kids, right? And then yet feeling like we just went through IVF and all these different things. And now, after I don't know how many years, to have our two kids now, because we were able to adopt them and we just love them dearly. but yet waiting for God's timing to happen. And I think for us, that's where we need to be. That's where we need to have that posture of, God, I'm waiting for you. When you give me the green light, or when you bring it, or whatever, that I'm going to see and experience this Kairos moment of you moving in that time. You know, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Every day that we live another day, it's one day closer to him coming back. And really, I believe that if we try to figure out the chronos of when Jesus comes back, we're going to be so disappointed. We're never going to figure out, oh, no, this is when Jesus is coming back. We have to look, until Jesus comes back, be aware of the Kairos moments that are happening. What is God doing? We need to recognize those times. This is what God is doing this moment. This is what he's doing. This is where he's leading me. This is where I'm supposed to go. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is my obedience to him. This is my worship to him in following him. And so my encouragement to us, Catalyst, is that from now to whether we get called home or Jesus comes, that we would be waiting for those, looking for those Kairos moments, saying, God, what are you doing in this situation? What are you doing? What do you want me to do? Let me recognize the way your hand is moving, and then give him praise and glory and worship for all of that. All right? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you know, sometimes for us, waiting, being patient, that's tough. It's tough for us. We want to see things happen. We want to get things done. We want to keep moving on, and we want to be productive, and we want to maximize. But Lord, really, I it's laughable when we think about these things and say these things, and in light of who you are and what you're doing. God, we want to be aware of all the Kairos moments, and the ways that you are working, and the timing of when you bring things into our lives. And so, God, in the waiting, in the time of being patient before you, God, we just want to open our hearts to you, align ourselves with you, God, to consider what it is that you are doing, consider the things and how you're moving, and to just worship you in those moments as well. So thank you, God. Thank you for your blessing and your goodness, your grace to us, and your patience with us. We love you, we love you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.
I count on one thing.